Hi, Stitchers. Welcome to Needles and Nuances, a podcast where we unravel the grand millennial life and obsess over all things needlepoint. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Lillian, and we're your hosts, two washed up sorority girls turned wives and working moms with a shared love of stitching and the finer things in life. Whether you're a seasoned stitcher or just starting out, we're here to build a community for all levels and lifestyles, and of course, spread the joy of stitching.
So grab your whip and join us as we share our unfiltered thoughts on work, motherhood, and our unhinged pipe dream of quitting our corporate jobs to become full-time needlepointers.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to a really, really special episode of Needles and Nuances. I'm Lillian, and we have the needlepoint queen herself with us, Ellen. She graciously agreed to be our guest today. So welcome, Ellen. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Hey, ladies. Thank you so much for having me. This is exciting.
I know. Oh my gosh. We're so excited. Are you kidding?
I know. We're like, this is a big get for us.
This is a huge, huge coup for us. So thank you again so much for being with us. And we just want to hear all about you and your needlepoint journey and your TikTok journey, of course.
Well, this is going to be a short podcast.
That's not true.
No. So Ellen and I actually met last year on the Penny Lynn and Morgan Julia main retreat. We stayed in the house together, which was so fun, two Southern gals, which was a lot of fun. And when Kelsey and I were talking about potential guests, I was like, I have to reach out to Ellen. And so I did like 2 days ago, which was amazing. And then we are just going to keep thanking you so much for taking the time to be with us today. And just thought we'd get to know you and show our listeners just all about Ellen.
All about Ellen. Okay.
Yeah. So when did you start to needlepoint, and like, what made you begin needlepointing?
You know, I keep on getting the years mixed up, but because it's been a while. I started, I believe, in 2002.
Okay.
My back history was, my dad is very much, was a very incredible artist, and I was a studio art major in college. So any sort of crafty art influence I got from my father, and he was a wood carver. So he was always working with his hands. As a studio art major, I liked it, and it was fun, but never really got into the wanting to be a painter. It just didn't jive. So I'm like, I want to do something with my hands, and what can it be? So my mother had just purchased a river house, a family home down in Irvington, Virginia, and they had a shop, the Village Needleworks or Village Needlepoint. And I just walked in and I'm like, huh, I could do this.
This is it.
And I picked up one of those little stitch and zip kits. It was a little leopard coin purse, and I stitched it up completely wrong. I didn't even read the directions. So self-taught. I think instead of stitching from Texas to Maine, I was stitching from Texas to Washington State, doing it backwards, don't even know if I was doing continental or half tent. I definitely was not doing basket weave. That's for sure.
Okay.
But it just kind of clicked, and, you know, having that shop nearby, and I had two shops at the time, actually. I had three shops. No, I take that back. I had two shops in town then. And then it just kind of took off. And in 2004, I got married. In 2006, I had a baby. So I dabbled, and as you well know, with children, your focus is not on your hobby, it's on your, you know, child rearing. But it's
a break. That goes.
You know how that goes. But I got back into it as Stella was more independent. That's my daughter. And, you know, didn't even think I tried a decorative stitch until 2019.
That's about when I tried it too.
Yep.
And then COVID hit. And it was gangbusters from there. And it was just like, if I could sit here and stitch all day, I am happy. So shut the world down. We're good to go.
Yeah. Another point to the needlepoint is so fantastic for your mental health, because I've heard so much of that during COVID. It was just such a great escape for so many people to start needlepointing.
And it's just such a great way to focus your mind on something happy and something joyful, and then you get something beautiful out of it.
And the dopamine hit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The biggest dopamine hit. I wish I had started stitching in COVID. Like, that would have been great.
And it's just, you know, it's just evolved from there. I've I did work at a needlepoint shop part-time for a little bit and then left from there. And the biggest thing I've done is take classes. And Stephanie Chase is my hero. Her year in Stitches classes has really, really made me try things I would never have tried before and really expanded my needlepoint repertoire.
If you know. Stephanie Chase with Joyful Needlepoint. Is that her?
The Joy of Needlepoint.
The Joy of Needlepoint. Okay.
A year in Stitches.
My mom did it too, and she loved it. She felt like she got so much out of it. So you are not alone. She absolutely loved it.
And so now I transferred my love of, you know, working with oil paints into my canvases. So
textiles.
That's why I bring my art to life.
That's great. Well, I've noticed that a lot of people come to you for stitch choices. Do you feel like you got most of that inspiration from Stephanie's classes, or do you feel like you look at books still, or do you, I go on Pinterest personally. I find a lot of stitches on Pinterest.
I've been going for about 2 years to my local needlepoint store, and she has a teacher there, Miss Kay, and Kay's been at this for a long time. And we go hang out, we sit down, we take her canvas, and she helps us choose stitches. That will work. If we need help with threads, she will help with that too. So that was really my diving off point, was working with her and her helping me build my confidence.
Sure.
And then I could take that and help others who are much newer, that, you know, kind of like passing the torch, if you will.
Yeah, especially when I feel like none of us are old, but I feel like I see 17 and 18 year olds doing it now, which is so wonderful.
Yeah, my best friend, who I taught to stitch, her son's girlfriend started when she was a sophomore in high school.
Oh, like, yeah. Good for her. That's great.
That's amazing.
That I stitched on USD's campus not too long ago on the horseshoe, and a couple students came up to me, and they're like, are you needlepointing? And I was like, I am. And I think I scared them off, but I was like, I'll teach you. And they were like, oh, it looks so pretty. Bye. But they were interested. They knew what it was. So I'll give them that.
Much better. Like, what cross stitch are you stitching?
Yeah.
Okay, I get knitting? That all the time. All the time.
I get that in the airport.
The cross stitching question.
Yeah, knitting. Mm-hmm. They just pick whatever arbitrary fiber needle craft pops into their head. And they're like, are you doing this?
Exactly.
Almost. So what made you... I'm sorry, Kels, go ahead.
I'm just so interested. No, go for it. I was going to kind of segue into how... Because, you know, we mentioned that, you know, we find people coming to you a lot for decorative stitches and stitch ideas. And we know you share a lot. This kind of felt like a good segue to ask, like, how has social media and your presence on TikTok and everything changed your relationship with needlepoint, if at all? Or,
I mean, it has. Of course it has. I think it's changed everyone's relationship with needlepoint.
Right.
Because it's getting out in the world. I have a platform that I can share my love of this hobby with, and people recognize that and respect that and want my help. And I'm so happy to give it to them. It's probably my favorite thing in the world, is to, like, sit down with someone and talk about needlepoint. I mean, duh.
Yeah, that's how we started the podcast.
Right.
And we all love that. So being able to have a way to get, and this has evolved from when I started a couple years ago into what it is now. And it's just, and I hope it evolves even more from now, because I just love this community so much. I want to help. I'd love to share my expertise. I have been stitching over 20 years. Like I said, I haven't been doing it correctly until about, 6 years ago. But yeah, it's the fun part. I love meeting new people. I love seeing their excitement for the craft. It's just, I love color, and going to a needlepoint shop and picking threads is probably my favorite thing to do. And helping someone else do that is so much fun too.
The best. I think that's been one of my favorite parts about working at the shop. I mean, aside from, like, getting to just look at all the canvases and everything, but, like, helping people kit their canvases is so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
So much fun.
And letting them know there's world beyond DMC floss and pearl cotton. Not that I'm, being a bummer about it, It is the most accessible thread that you can get for people who are in a LNS desert. Right. So yeah, use it. Yeah. But what if you could elevate it? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I kind of my goal is.
I've been having the funnest time lately. I don't know if y'all saw, I mean, I know Kelsey saw because she also took advantage of the sale, but the Stitching Fox had a big sale on their watercolor threads, which I had never used before, but I thought, oh my gosh, they're so pretty. And they were $3 each. So I messaged them and was like, hey, can you just send me 12? I'll, you know, pay for 30, you know, whatever. And they sent me all of this gorgeous variegated thread that I never would have even, I would have seen it in the store and been like, oh, pretty. And then moved on and gone to my usual vineyard silk. And I am so glad I got this watercolor because I'm having the funnest time finding. I just did, I'm working on my husband's Squatty Santa, and I did a beautiful watercolor variegated thread for his coat, red thread, and it's gorgeous. And I'm just so excited. I never would have even considered it if I hadn't seen it on social media that they were having the sale.
Yeah. I love a variegated thread. It just,
I do too.
It just reads so much better than a flat color.
Mm-hmm. 100%. That's been a curse of social media is finding out about all the sales and then spending way too much money all the time. Like the pre-market sales right now, I'm like, oh, someone's going to get me.
That's right. If you don't, you should go follow Molly on TikTok. She is their beep, 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 beep sales alert girl.
I have seen her. I got off of TikTok for a while and then I was like, okay, I'm like, everybody's like, well, you got to see this on TikTok, see it on TikTok. So I got it back and I'm glad I did because I'm seeing so much. And it's just, everyone is.
It's a different world on TikTok than it is on Instagram.
It is.
I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe it's just because it works. I don't know. It's more for the younger, I'm not going to say kids, but the younger people. The
younger crowd.
Yep. That's their platform that they use. And they're not into Granny IG as much.
Yeah.
That's what I realized that Pinterest was kind of old school when I posted some inspiration on TikTok from pictures I found on Pinterest. And someone was like, where did you find these? These are gorgeous. And I was like, it's Pinterest. Come on. And they were like, oh. And I was like, oh, okay. I had no idea that it was old news, but hey, I still love it.
That's where I look for a lot of stitches is there.
Yeah, I do too. And yeah, hey, come on. It's free.
Mm-hmm.
So. Right. I found these on the same place I planned my dream wedding and my future home in 2009.
Yeah. Well, we don't need to talk about those boards.
I plan galas, birthday parties, all kinds of things on Pinterest.
Oh yeah, right? My son's birthday parties. Yes, ma'am. So I realized with TikTok, you post almost every day, right? About?
I try to do 2 to 3 times a week.
Okay. So what's your favorite kind of post on TikTok? Do you like your whips or do you like... I've noticed that you do the stitch of the day as well, if that's what you call it.
That's new. What's the stitch?
I'm like, what's the stitch?
And again, this is the evolution of TikTok. Is like, I don't know how to do. How do I edit? What do I do?
Oh, I know.
And I'm like, I've got to put my face in the public for the world to see. Holy hell! what's the stitch is fun. I love to share the new stitches, and people love it.
Mm-hmm. I save everyone.
I think the one I've gotten the most hits on is Diagonal Mosaic. Who'd have thunk? But because TikTok has so many new needle pointers, it's a great place for them to start. I do love finishing to show my finishes because my pillow finisher is a local gal who's a dear friend of mine, and her finishing is exquisite. And I actually brought one of hers today. The world can't see, but y'all can.
We can post it on Instagram. So anything you want to show.
Oh my gosh, that's so
look
good.
At those fur palms. Are you kidding me?
This is the moonflower fabric. And this is kind of like addresses my personal style as well. I picked the fabric. You know, I had the threads. This is just a small little canvas that I, you know, built a pillow around. And the funny part is the leopard pom-poms and the leopard trim. So I'm like, my style is classic with a twist. And the twist is a leopard part that's kind of matching with these guys in the pattern. So
I love the pillows along the canvas as well. Not a lot of people do that. And I think that's what I do with pillows. It's gorgeous.
Yes.
That is so beautiful.
So I just have visions. I like to have fun. Don't give me.
Yeah, no, completely.
Right. So lots of colors. Do you try and incorporate some of those more fun elements of things like leopard prints and those kind of unique elements into most of your finishes, or
absolutely
depends on the piece. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the whole heirloom quality, who knows about
that? Pish posh.
This is me to have fun with. And if you can't have fun with it, what's the point of doing it all?
What's the point? Sure.
So, you know, I have the, Anne Kay. I don't know. It says something about champagne. And I found a really kitschy, cool, like, campy Veuve print on Spoon. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is not something I would put as, you know, and if I was an interior decorator, I'd use this fabric in somebody's house. But yeah, but I use this on a fun pillow.
Yeah. Where do you like to have your pillows? Do you like to have them in like common spaces or anywhere like the guest room?
They're mostly in our common spaces. We have dogs who like to dig mm-hmm. and root to get themselves comfortable on the sofa. So there's not any on our sofas, but I have a great bay window. And then I'm starting to add to the cocktail lounge. I've got my Tito's bottles complete, and let's see.
Need to go to Ellen's house immediately. I want to hit up this
house whenever.
I want to hit up this cocktail lounge.
I like now. I'm adding that to my wish list. I want a cocktail lounge.
Screw my craft room.
Alita actually came over and we taped a tour on my Needle Point. So it's on my Instagram somewhere. I'll forward it to you guys. You can get a little tour.
Oh, I'd love it. Beautiful. Oh. That's idea amazing. Of a cocktail lounge.
I know. I'm actually currently trying to convince my mom to put a Prosecco tap in her kitchen.
Oh.
And she is highly considering it, but
now I'm coming to your house.
Right.
Right.
Oh man, I don't have anything fun. I will say my dad's bar is very nice. It's mirrored walls, very mid-century mod. So I'll give him that. His bar at my parents' house is very nice. So
it should be.
Yeah, right. I know. Tell me about it. I love that.
It's fun. Yeah, I have fun with this. And it's just, you can't laugh at super.
Right.
Now right. I'm thinking about it my
finishing. I have coming up. I'm going to finish these Squatty Santas as stocking holders. And I was just going to do like velvet. But now I'm like, maybe I should find something a little more, with a little more pizzazz.
Rifle have some great Christmas fabric too.
They do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right.
And if you don't want to go Dupont, which is lovely and classic as well, go have fun with a print.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Maybe Ellen just inspired me. Maybe I'll take it. I'll check it out. You might have some text messages from me, Ellen, with some some questions.
Reach out.
Yeah, and Rifle Paper usually does. I actually stocked up on some of their Christmas fabric last mm-hmm. year during their Christmas sales. Like, save it for some finishing.
I never think of them for fabric. I always think mm-hmm. of them for like paper, right? They have paper products. Is that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. but they have fabric swatches and they're like, they're good size too. They're inexpensive because it's only probably like a 12 by 12, like perfect for finishing.
Not a full upholstery yard that I didn't know about.
And if you ever get down to Winter Park, Florida and go visit Novella Needlepoint, the Rifle yes. Paper has an outlet 2 blocks away. Mm-hmm. And they have fabric remnants in there, and it's great. I bought so much for ornaments and stuff.
That's not a far drive for you, Kels.
Like 5 hours.
No, and you know, we're doing our Atlantic Blue Designers trip. Carolina's taking us all to Disney World in January, and we're going to do a pop-up on the Sunday at Novella. So I will hit that up.
Well, speaking of retreats, so Ellen and I did meet at a retreat in Maine, and I know we talked about you went to the Spellbound Citrus retreat in Rutherfordton a couple weeks ago, I think is what it, mm-hmm. when it was.
Yeah.
So what do you look for in a retreat? Are you more of a structured class time, 8 o'clock to 10, or do you more casual like we did in Maine and a lot of shopping?
You know, I think the best one I've been to, and this is not to knock anybody else, they've all been great. I don't need structure. I want to just chill out, hang out. I'm going to a retreat to meet people and for community and to stitch. If there's a couple of needlepoint shops along the way, heck yeah, I'm going to go support them too. You mentioned Stitching Fox, great, great shop. They have so many threads. I was so happy to be able to go to that shop as well as the Stitching Chicks when I was in Rutherfordton. And so that's one of the great things about a retreat is, you know, you're going to a place you're not probably normally going to go, and you get to see shops that you've seen and on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, and meet the owners, and each shop has its own style and its own vibe. And Well, Stitching Chicks and Stitching Fox are kind of close. They're not that close, but their vibe is totally different.
It is.
And that's what's so cool about going to these retreats. The Three Needles Stitch Away in Cincinnati, there's three needlepoint shops there. One, there actually there's two shops. It's like literally two blocks away from each other. But they're both so different that you're going to find something new in one shop that you're not going to find in the other shop. And that's what's cool to me.
I do love the difference of, like you said, a different vibe, but it's still, you know, community friendly. But at the same time, I might like something more in a specific shop than my mom does, just what the canvas is versus what she might like. I don't know. So it's just, you're right. It's like, yeah. The diversity of the shops are very, it's key to the community, needlepoint community, I think.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, my other part of the retreat is hanging out after it's all said and done. We come back to the hotel, get in our jammies, meet up in a lobby and hang out and have some wine and stitch. That's what the community is all about to me.
It's like a needlepoint sleepover.
It is 100% a needlepoint sleepover.
Yeah. That's how I wish I wasn't able to have Bloody Marys in Maine last year, champagne, because I was newly pregnant and bummed out. But if Literally I get to go
sleep by 8 o'clock,
I'm like, I did. Oh. I was Irish exiting. I was like, all right, good night. It would like saunter out. Luckily, I had that downstairs room because it was the party was hopping. But hopefully, if I get to go back, I will definitely indulge and have a good time.
So. I will say that was my biggest regret at. Needlepoint Palooza this year. I like got my ticket so last minute that the hotel was full and I had to stay like 15 minutes away or something, like 20 minutes. I had to drive back every night and I missed out on that like hotel stitching time. And I had a ton of FOMO of not being a part of that part of it.
That was the great part. Last year with the Three Needle Stitch Away, the hotel that they had for everybody had an emergency and they had to close the hotel. So we all had to find different places. Which is no big deal at all, but we stayed at the Graduate, which is a fantastic hotel. But here we are in the lobby, and I'm sitting here, and I'm stitching with Elizabeth Cray Schwartz. Oh, she's like my girl, number one needlepoint girl crush. Her color just speaks to me, and she's just so cool to me. And I just be able to sit there and stitch with her and talk to her was awesome.
That's great.
Amazing.
I was
girl crushing a lot last year in Maine because Mopsy Design came. I mean, Krista awesome. With Penny Lynn, right, and Morgan Julie. I mean, they were all there and I was like, oh my gosh, like been following them for a couple of years, stitching a lot of their canvases, and it was just and they're so cool. Everyone's down to earth and it's just so fun.
That was fun. I was stitching Morgan's corn doll.
Yeah, that's right. And you finished it in like an hour. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
It was teeny. Mesh canvases are the best.
They're great when you just want to like instant gratification. Because I feel like I was for a long time last year, I was just doing big projects. And then I did those two little associated talents carrots. And I was like, oh, thank goodness I finished something this year.
It's like the KCN key fob kits.
Those are cute.
Mm-hmm. Instant gratification. I'm done with it the day that it comes and it's self-finishing. And like, those are some of my favorite kinds of projects.
Same with Meg Francis and her little minis.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. I love a mini. No, the parasocial relationship in needlepoint in terms of like, we follow all these people on TikTok and all the, and it's social media and the designers. And then all of a sudden we're just like, stitching next to them at a retreat or something. And it's so fun.
It's so fun. And that's why I'm like, people are like, it's Ellen. I'm like, I'm nobody. I'm just a gal who likes to sit and yap and stitch.
Nobody, you're somebody.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing to do.
I kept telling everybody all week, I was like, well, I have a really important guest on my podcast on Friday, so everyone leave me alone.
Right? I'm like blocking my calendar. Please, no one schedule meetings for this time.
Yeah, I completely signed off work. I was like, I have my lunch hour, leave, bye.
My husband gets a kick out of it too. He's like, but he's gotten into it as well. He's gotten like, he's been on two retreats with me in Charleston.
Oh, great.
And went to Rutherfordton as well. Cause I'm like, he can go do other stuff, but he's just as happy sitting with a group of gals yapping too. So
I feel like husbands get into it. Like my husband's into it too. Is he, I think, Kelsey, we talked about, I could not find a canvas that was for a big brother, a, you know, an older sibling. And my husband was like, well, I can paint it for you. And so he's going to paint me a big brother ornament and a little sister ornament. So I'm really excited. Oh, but he gets into it with that because he can actually, he's good at painting as well. So he is going to do that for me. So it's been fun because, so he doesn't mind like coming to a shop with me and looking around at the different, I mean, truly art pieces that are in there. So that's been fun.
Yeah, we love a needlepoint husband.
We do.
We love a supportive needlepoint husband.
We sure do. Correct. We sure do.
And John actually said to me once, he's like, I think we've got enough pillows. And I said, bite your tongue.
Not your business.
Yeah, it's not his business how many pillows are in the house.
Yeah, he doesn't have to do anything except look at them and admire them. Lucky him.
And appreciate your hard work.
Exactly.
So you mentioned Elizabeth Crane Schwartz. What are some of your other top designers? And do you have like a dream collaboration or dream project from any of those?
I have so many girl crushes in the industry. And that's exactly what I call them. They're my girl crushes.
Absolutely.
I'm lucky to call several of them friends. Brooke from Thorne Alexander is a great one. She, her vision and her eye is just incredible to me. Her artistry is awesome. Lucy is another, you know, color lover like me, and her canvases just scream, and I love that.
Yes.
Maggie from Love MHB is another one of my favorites because I love, and this is not a diss, I love the simplicity of her designs because that's what I want to do, is just sit down, look at this beautifully graphically designed project that she has put so much thought into, and it's like, I was stitching one of her canvases and I was like, you know what? She probably thought that diagonal or mosaic could fit perfectly in this space because the canvas threads read perfectly for that. So I'm like, I know a lot of thought goes into her process for design. Christy from Initial K Studio is another one. I love her background with the quilting and the designs there and her color stories. I do actually stitch a lot for her. So I love being able to stitch things that she takes to market and shows as samples. So those are some of my tops.
Love that. Those are definitely some of my faves. I have a couple of Christie's big canvases that I want to do into pillows for my guest room.
And any designer that puts a saying on a pillow, if you add a curse word to any sort of saying on a pillow, I'm going to buy it.
That's hilarious. I'm not a huge fan of the words, just like in general, but I do love the occasional curse word. I will say that is, it's just chef's kiss to me. It's hilarious. So also, if anybody hears baby noises, I do apologize. I had to get the baby out of, she woke up. So she's here with us. She wanted to join Girl Talk.
Precious.
She's here with us.
It's good to see you out of your mama's belly.
Yeah, that's right. Little grain of rice.
We don't need to apologize for baby noises. If anyone listening to this podcast has a problem with baby cooing, that's on you.
See yourself out.
Hopefully this
one's
after Needlepoint as well. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I hope she does too. Same with mine. I'm like really trying to get her to figure it out. It's a hard skill to pick up for the little ones, but she'll get there.
Yeah, mine's too much into the phone and doing, you know, the scrolling through social media, sitting down and doing something else. But maybe one of these days.
One of these days. That's why I'm trying to start her young. So at least maybe she'll wanna intermix it with the phone scrolling and whatever's popular by the time she's a tween.
It's the same posture with the phone scrolling. I swear I have the worst posture when I stitch.
Well, there's some ideas for you, Kelsey. You know, bring to ABC some more easy, fun stitches for the younger girls.
You know, I actually like have this idea and I need to pitch it, but my daughter loves whenever she sees me designing, if I'm on my iPad using like Stitchly instead of on my computer doing Mac Stitch, she loves that. She definitely has like an artsy creative like vibe. She's five, for reference, but I downloaded Stitchly onto her iPad because she wanted to like help. And she's made some really fun patterns. And I was like, that would be so cool to like take her little art that she's just drawing and like turn it into a canvas on like 10 or 12 mesh. Like, I think that would be so fun. And I just haven't done it yet.
as a That's mother, a if my child is then like, we're stitching it right up. Come on, bring
right?
it.
Right? I know. I'm like, I should go paint this right now and be like, here you go, make it. So I think maybe soon when she can kind of grasp that concept a little more of like, oh, I drew this design. And then it's her design on the canvas. Like, I think she will love that so much. But yeah, she just like right now has a lot of fun in there, just like drawing on the grid and like picking what color she's going to use. So by the time she's ready to stitch those, hopefully she'll have a nice little collection we can choose from.
Cute. That's a great
idea, Kels. I love that.
I keep scaring you. I'm sorry.
All right. So you love a pillow. You love a curse word. You love a decorative stitch. What's your favorite piece that you have stitched?
Ooh.
Probably that HBSC that I just showed you guys.
I don't blame you at all.
I mean, the finishing's so good.
It's gorgeous.
Then also, let me grab it real quick so y'all can see it.
Yes.
This is one of Kasian's licensed pieces. I believe it's Ampersand is the name of the artist. But this trio.
Oh, that's so cute.
Oh my goodness. I'm sorry, I'm talking baby talk.
Just a background decorative stitch, you know, using the different threads, the turkey work, the very velvet, silk lame bright. And just the finish itself, just it's bold, it's modern, it's cool.
I love that. That's so fun.
Does your friend do tooth fairy pillows?
Because I've got one I need to send off.
She's so good, but she's so inundated.
Yeah, I hear you.
I say Rittenhouse. If all else fails, call Rittenhouse.
Gotcha.
Good to know. You're really inspiring me to stitch some more pillows or one pillow.
They're the best. I love a big project on 13 mesh. That's I'm stitching my puppies, I call them. So Claire Lambert Art is an artist that Stephanie from Spellbound Stitchery has gotten licensing for. And you've seen her really cool, colorful pet.
Yes.
And they're on 18 mesh. Well, I commissioned Claire to do a portrait of my dogs and then sent the portrait to Stephanie and commissioned Stephanie to paint the dogs on 13 mesh canvas. And they are so amazing.
Oh, I love that.
13 mesh with big color is speaking my language.
Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask, is 13
mesh your preference or just like with the size of the can or just in general?
It's 13 is my preference. You know, I've got 54-year-old eyes, so I can just see it much better. And I've gotten so I don't even wear my contacts anymore because I can see better without contacts and just my nearsightedness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I obviously do stitch some 18 because that's what most of the ornaments are on, but there's my love for Maggie from Love MHB. She does some great 13 mesh ornaments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that don't look. I'm sorry,
buddy. I'm sorry. That don't look. Sometimes the 13 mesh ornaments, in my opinion, can look a little cluttered because they're so small. Mm-hmm. But when it's done correctly, I mean, they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's another thing, to each their own with. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Kelsey. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, I think I'm going to try and 2026 is going to be the year of 13 mesh. I'm going to clear out all my 13 mesh projects so I can feel really accomplished.
Yeah, and pick a design that you love, that you want to stitch. You're like, make sure you put down something you've been working on that you want to start immediately. That's the best mm-hmm. part. And that's why some of us mm-hmm. have so many, you know, so many things in purgatory.
Lillian.
I do. I took so many whips last year to Maine and I still didn't finish them. But I did finish the tooth fairy pillow, didn't I, baby? So, but yeah, see, I'm way more of 18 mesh. I'm kind of an 18 mesh snob, but I do have some 13. But I think that's what's so great about also with what Needlepoint's turning into. Everyone has their own style, their own preferences. And I really think that like the Needlepoint community is starting to really facilitate to everybody's style. There's seriously something for everyone with Needlepoint.
And I get that. I mean, so many stitchers love 18 mesh over 13 because there's so much more detail that you can put in an 18 mesh canvas.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've grown as a stitcher, let's just pick a travel round, for example. There's some travel rounds that have 50 stupid colors in them. I don't want to change colors that often. I'm just not going to do it. That takes too long. Give me something simple.
Yeah, I could understand that too. I did notice in the Squatty Santa, I missed a few stitches and I have to do like 3 or 4 different threads of just one stitch. Oh. And I'm kind of dreading it.
The worst.
I hope you saved and remember which threads they were because That's your other.
That's my other problem is that I forget what colors I used. I'm immediately going to start on mine so I can just go ahead and get those out of the way.
The same ones. Yeah.
But yes. Thank you, Kelsey. I did. I wrote it down this time. I did write it down this time.
Let me keep you honest.
Didn't I?
So any advice that you have for Stitchers, or like, is there a piece of advice that you give to anyone who asks you how to get started or anything like that?
I just say, I don't even know. Cause it's, if you live somewhere where there's a local needlepoint shop, I will always say, go to your local needlepoint shop. Mm-hmm. Take a class if they're offered. Go mm-hmm. find something on YouTube. But the community is there to, you know, support your success and set you up for success. If you don't have a community, go find one. Mm-hmm. TikTok, there's Instagram. There's a lot of groups that have Zoom calls. I actually am members of two different Zoom calls I made on Wednesday evenings and Thursday evenings. Two different completely set of gals. Like, one's our younger group that I love to pieces, and then one's more, you know, senior is not the right word, experienced Stitchers that we've been meeting since 2020, and we've become great friends. And several of our retreats we've done together. Like, we went and met down at Faison's shop. Faison actually runs the Zoom call. We met at Faison's shop, and then we did, a lot of us did the three needles last year, and then we just all organized and met up in the Needlepoint Clubhouse in St. Louis, which is phenomenal.
How fun.
So it's like, just because you don't have a community near you doesn't mean you can't build one yourself. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you've got the resources at your fingertips. Anyone, if you follow me on TikTok, you could always reach out to me with a question. I'll answer it. I'm an open book. So yeah, just try to find something that'll bring you joy, a tutorial that will help you get started, and ask questions. I mean, the Gray Millennial Facebook page is prime for that.
I think so many people can be so scared of asking questions, and it's like, it's okay. Like, we get it. It can be a complicated hobby. It looks complicated when you see like a giant stocking that someone did, and you're like, it's totally fine if you can't even begin to fathom doing that, because I mean, that's a huge undertaking. Mm-hmm. And it's totally okay if you want to do, you know, a key fob, start out with a key fob with, you know, a square on it. Like, do what you need to do and get your feet wet and enjoy it.
I think the thing that makes me the saddest is seeing all of these new stitchers not have confidence in themselves mm-hmm. and always second guessing themselves. I'm like, the only way that you're going to be able to learn is to do it and learn from it and learn from your mistakes. We've 100%. All made those mistakes. We've all used an old needle and turned our white thread gray. all done it. So yeah, I would tell a new stitcher, jump into the white space. Don't have any fear. Just do it.
That is very good advice. I love that.
Because guess what? If you hate it, that's why God invented seam rippers.
Yep.
You Precisely.
Fix it. You could fix it.
Also, like, this should be for you. Yeah. Like, if it's not bringing you happy, or if it's not making you happy, like,
this is not the hobby for you.
Right. Like, it should bring you joy. It is for you. And I feel like sometimes people get so wrapped up in like the wrong aspects of it, and you forget mm-hmm. that like, this is a hobby that should bring you joy. And like, here's a bunch of ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we wrap this up, we thought it would be fun to do a couple of rapid fire questions with you.
Okay, cool.
So, favorite thread brand?
13 mesh silk and ivory, 18 mesh silk and may braid.
Oh, okay. Sparkle. I love it.
That's pretty much my same answers, I would think. What is one stitch you will never get tired of, like a decorative stitch or continental basket, whatever?
Crisscross engagement.
Yes. Oh my gosh. One of my favorite backgrounds.
Me too.
Yes. Okay. Love that. What is one needlepoint myth that drives you crazy?
One needlepoint myth that drives me crazy. I don't know. I don't know if I believe any of the boyfriend belt stuff.
I fell for it.
Boyfriend a belt. My thing is like, if I stitch my boyfriend a belt and he breaks up with me, he's keeping the belt to remember me, and it's kind of like revenge. I'll recall it the revenge belt after that.
Yeah, you just have to reposition it.
Yeah.
Does it count if you made
you did your boyfriend a couple belts and then you broke up with him? Asking for a friend.
I might ask for them back.
That's your own fault.
Yeah. I don't know if he still has them or not. Bless his heart. I don't know if his new wife will like it.
And finally, who would be your dream celebrity to stitch with?
Oh my gosh. Let's just say Parker Posey.
I love that.
I thought you were going to say someone from Bravo, a fellow Bravo gal.
Oh, I know Heather Dubrow stitches. She goes to the shop in Los Angeles. She goes to, yeah, Parker Posey. I find hilarious.
I love that's amazing. That would be and, so
and
funny.
Stitches, and she's been stitching forever. And
I didn't know that. That's amazing.
I didn't know that either.
So that's what my first thought was.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
Love it.
Cool.
Lillian, any final thoughts?
No, questions? I am just so, I mean, we are just so grateful that you made the time, Ellen. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. I love listening to y'all's podcast. I don't listen to podcasts very often, but it's when I get in the car and I have a long distance to drive, I'll pop in a podcast.
Well, we appreciate that. And thank you again so much for talking to us. This has been so fun.
Love seeing you guys. Good to see Lillian again, you know, talking face to face. Good to meet you, Kelsey. I hope
you too.
The next time we're down in Hilton Head area.
Yes. Text me, call me.
Yeah, I would love to get together soon. And if you're ever in Rutherfordton, my in-laws have a cabin up there. So that's an easy trip for me. Mm-hmm. Or the beach, or if y'all go down to Hilton Head, I'll meet you down there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good plan.
Everyone come on down.
It's a one big party.
We would love it. Thank you so much, Ellen. We so appreciate it.
You're welcome. Great seeing you guys.
You too.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.